بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم on one occasion tells the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم إن الله تعالى يرضى لكم ثلاثا ويسخط لكم ثلاثا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves three things for you and three things He dislikes. Because both of them, or all three of them, are opposite to one another. The first three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for you and that you should engage in and you should ensure that your life revolves around. Number one, أن تعبد الله, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and you do not ascribe a partner to Him, which is basically iman and tawheed and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, shunning and rejecting all idols, everything else that is a false god, and only believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing He says, that وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُ, that you hold on بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collectively. And what many ulama interpret as the hablullah, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the Qur'an al-Kareem and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you hold on to it and make this year the guide in your life. And then the third thing He says, that you continue to remain a well-wisher, antanasahu, that you continue to remain a well-wisher for those people who have been placed in charge of your affairs. That whether it is your teachers, whether it is your imams, whether it is those who are community leaders, you continue to support them, wish well for them, wish for them the very best, and assist them in whatever possible way. And then He says that He dislikes for you three things. Number one, qila wa qal, hearsay. That you revolve your life around hearsay. That hearsay means that you hear any particular item of news without verifying, without identifying the source of that particular news, whether it is true, whether it is mischief that is floating around, what's the quality of the news, what is the standard and what is the description of the person who's bearing the news and bringing it to, you know, to begin with. Qila wa qal is a brief description of hearsay. That whatever you hear, you are in the habit of saying it. Hence the word hearsay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes this particular quality in a believer. Because although certain times it may actually be correct, that what you heard and what you said was factual, if this becomes a habit inside a person, it's only a matter of time that the habit is going to lead a person to be a means of spreading lies, of spreading gossip, and spreading things which are false, which whether voluntarily or involuntarily, you will hurt somebody else and you will set everybody back. So number one, qila wa qal. And the second one, kathrata sual, that He dislikes for you a lot of questioning. Now questioning is not always bad and is not always good. There are many instances where Rasulullah SAW praised the person asking a question. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of course says, "Husnu sual nisful ilm," that a good question is in fact half of knowledge. There were a number of occasions that Sahaba would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even women, and ask him very pertinent questions, and he would turn the attention to the questioner first, telling the people that, "Did you ever think that somebody could ask such a good question?" So he would praise the type of question. But what is being referred to here is the very same practice of the Bani Israel in particular. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam tells them to slaughter a cow. And they, instead of fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it's decreed to them, instead of doing so, they start to ask questions in the hope of either delaying the fact that we have to spend money, buy a cow and slaughter it, or in the hope of maybe Musa alayhi salatu wasalam becoming frustrated and telling them, "Okay, listen here, don't slaughter a cow, go and slaughter a chicken, go and slaughter a bird, get away with it, and you know, stop bothering me in that particular way." So hence they started a series of questions not in the interest of finding out anything sincerely or genuinely, but merely to delay the inevitable, merely to frustrate the person who is giving them advice on what to do and how to do something, not in the interest of learning anything. That's the type of questioning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes for you. That after there is clarity in what you're supposed to do, there is no ambiguity whatsoever. And if there was, you cleared it up. Merely in the interest of delaying and merely in the interest of you becoming a burden upon the person you are asking, you continue to ask. And the third thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes in the community of the Muslims and the individual for that matter, idha'atil mal, the wastage of wealth. Now what defines wastage? You see, people have a way and a knack to justify every single expense that they do. That a person, there's an occasion, there's an event, and a person pulls out a long inventory list of what we require, this, this and that, and they begin to justify, no, we need it to be done in this way, we need to hire this particular venue, etc., etc., etc. Deen has got a definition of the wastage of wealth. And it is clearly defined as every expenditure that is not expected to yield a worldly investment, or a worldly benefit rather, every expenditure that's not expected to yield a worldly benefit, nor is it expected to yield any benefit of the hereafter. That's a clear definition. So if a person spends, if there is some worldly benefit, it's an investment in the future. You expect it to increase a particular portfolio with halal money and you want a halal investment to be made. By all means, the deen doesn't stop you using your halal money in that particular way. You've made that expenditure in the hope that you will make this investment for the hereafter. It's your sadaqah, it's your charity. Whether it is your sadaqah jariyah or your waqf, a property, whatever you're bequeathing, you expect and anticipate a return in the hereafter, nothing in this world. The deen obviously encourages you from such type of expenditure. But if a person identified an item of expenditure and cannot classify or cannot clarify that whether this year was for a benefit of the world, who worldly benefited from it in any possible way, or it was an investment for the hereafter, it falls in the category of idha'atul mal, the wastage of wealth, which is absolutely impermitted, and which Rasulullah s.a.w. mentions, that the opening of the doors of poverty, the opening of the doors of poverty is where people begin to waste the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted them with. And when they start to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreases the barakah in their sustenance to a point that they and their progeny will experience poverty even though they may have plenty of wealth. It's possible that you could have plenty of hard currency, but you could still be poor. If that is worth nothing in the world, if you can't buy anything because you live in a place where nothing is available to buy, and you have got no facility of travel, you could have tons and you could have plenty buried in the backyard, but you can't use it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away all avenues of usage, as quite often happens as a lesson to us across the world. So this is poverty in the presence of notes and in the presence of paper. That's what it becomes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has different ways to deal with his ibad and his servants, but it is up to the servant and the quality of actions and the lifestyle that the servant displays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will be the result of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the servant in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat. Ameen. Subhanallah.